Hi, I'm Steven Jackson, NFL All-Pro, and you're listening to Sports on Tap All-Pro.
Northwest.
Hi, you listen to the All-Pro running back Steven Jackson, and you listen to Sports on Tap Northwest.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Sports on Tap Northwest with Kyle Carter and
Matt Garl.
Hello. Gosh, it's been a while.
It has been a minute, as you could say.
We haven't had a podcast together since the Super Bowl preview.
Crazy. Which you nailed. I think we talked about it last year. You predicted the Super Bowl.
I kind of did.
100%. Correct.
Every day. Anywho,
you genius.
We've done a lot of stuff since then, including
last time we hung out, like, significantly. Well, you and I went on a little bucket list trip to the NFL draft
in Chicago.
Which was awesome.
Chi-Town. If you don't know by now, we're talking about Chi-Town.
Oh, check that box off the bucket list.
Yes.
It was awesome.
Dude, I'm telling you, one of the best trips ever. Because literally everything just kind of fell into place.
We could not have stumbled into more awesome stuff than we did. It was pretty sweet.
Like,
from the first night, we went to, like, one of the nicest steakhouses in Chicago.
Gibson's.
We saw Brian Urlacher.
Yeah, we basically got to do a little head nod. So basically, we're best friends with
Brian Urlacher.
Jay Feely sat next to me at our table.
The starting right fielder for the Cubs, Jorge.
Jorge Toler.
Yep.
That guy.
He came by our table.
We got some great stories from Jay Feely in his Michigan days.
None of this was because of us. It was because who were we with.
Yes. You hooked it up, man. You are from the Nike, and we got a little
pretty sweet.
Little hookup action.
Yeah, pretty sweet.
To go to the draft. And
pretty sweet.
That's another story, but we got hooked up with Ticket...
S in parentheses. That will just stay with us.
Yeah. And but we somehow, you know, made our way into a bunch of cool things.
It was awesome. We saw, not only got to see our team's draft, our the rookies and all that stuff, and just kind of being there for that seminal moment that you always watch on TV. We always get together and watch it on TV every year, and we made it happen, got to see it in person. But kind of the lasting part of that was... And I have to tell the story here because we were finding our seats after what was an adventure, but we finally got tickets. We were finding our way to our seats, and we had to pass Media Row to get there, and we're walking past Media Row, and Kyle goes, he nudges me and says, "That's Brad Evans from Yahoo," and I was like, okay. I didn't know what he looked like. And Kyle,
but you knew what Brad
was. I know who he is.
Yes.
I didn't know what he looked like, but I knew who he is. So as soon as you said that, I was like, oh, cool. And I just kept walking because I'm nervous. And then Kyle walked up to him and was like, "Hey, Brad Evans. I'm Kyle. This is my friend Matt here." And I'm like, hi, like fanboy, like, whoa. And he's very nice.
Very cool.
Very personable. And the next breath is Kyle saying, "Hey, me and my friend Matt are on a podcast. Would you care to come on?" And I was like Homer Simpson sinking into the bushes, if you know what I'm talking about. Like, I was just like, oh my God. I can't believe you just asked him that, Kyle. I was awkward.
Well, you know, to give him some credit, though, Brad, that is, I was like, "Hey, we do this podcast together. Would you be so kind to give us what they call in the radio and podcast biz, a bump?"
Don't worry, we're professionals.
Yeah, we're professionals. Or, you know, "Hey, this is Brad Evans from Yahoo Sports, and you're listening to Sports on Tap Northwest," right?
Yeah.
Just something basic like that. He goes like, "How about I do you one better?" We're like, "What?" He's like, "I'll do a podcast with you." And we're like, "You've got to be kidding me."
I was Homer Simpson.
What just happened? Okay.
Kyle, say something.
He gave us his email. And he's like, "Yeah, just get in touch with me and we'll get something scheduled late July, early August." And what do you know?
And I expected him to, like, because you swapped emails with him, gave him a link to our podcast.
I did.
And if I'm being honest, I expected him to, like, maybe check it out and then be like, "Oh,
sorry, guys.
These guys, this is actually two dudes in a basement somewhere.
Sorry, guys. I need over 105 likes on Facebook for me to do a podcast."
Well, he had 12 friends, so. But he stayed true to his word.
He did, and what did we just do?
We just interviewed the Brad Evans.
Brad Evans.
The Big Noise.
The Big Noise.
Team Huevos.
Team Huevos.
So pretty cool. It was kind of a big deal.
It was a big deal, and we got to give him all the credit in the world, because he was just like, yeah, I'm game. Let's do this.
He was so great. So great. So gracious with his time. Just totally unexpected, and just a seems like a total dude. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Total dude.
And congrats to him, because he just got extended on at Yahoo, so he's just going to be there for even longer.
Well-deserved.
Well-deserved. And I guess now would be the perfect time to say... enjoy our interview.
Here's the interview with Brad Evans.
With Brad Evans.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Sports On Tap Northwest. I'm here with my main man, Matt Garl.
You.
And we have another awesome special guest here with us, the fantasy guru at Yahoo Fantasy Sports.
Pretty big deal.
He's the Big Noise. He is Brad Evans. How are you doing, sir?
I am terrific, gentlemen. Cheers to you.
Cheers to you.
Yeah, prost.
Prost. So we like to start off our show letting the listeners know that we have a beverage of choice, and we're both drinking some. Would you like
to start? Actually, yeah, today is actually a special day. Not only do we have Brad Evans, but it's actually National IPA Day. Not a lot of people know that, so I'm drinking a local Northwest hop smack from Cascade Lakes. Super IPA-y, super delicious, super awesome. Kyle, what are you drinking?
Perfect. I like to go to my bread and butter. I'm having a Crown Royal and Coke right now, my friend. So, you know, about the liquor variety.
Right.
So, Mr. Evans, I don't know if you are imbibing right now, but if you would be, what would you be imbibing in?
Well, I'm not reading the Bible right now, gentlemen. I can tell you that much. I am strictly imbibing. And I am straight tequila pretty much all the time. I do dabble in a little beer, but I've got a little Casamigos Blanco right now on the rocks with a squeeze of lime. So I'm going hardcore, and I'm going to power my motor vehicle with this later on if I need to get a little bit more down the road.
Perfect.
I mean, so I'll just get out of the way right away. I had one goal in this podcast. It was not to sound like a fanboy or be too jealous, but to me, your life is, sounds like it's tequila and fantasy football, which sounds just about like the coolest thing in the world. Am I wrong somewhere?
No, it's exactly that. I mean, I pretty much get out of bed, get a little, you know, hair of the dog in the morning to kick things off, and then
right?
I research fantasy all day, talk to my wife occasionally, say hi to my children, pet my dog, and then, you know, I write and read pretty much constantly this time of year. And then, you know, back to the tequila hardcore, and we do it all again the next day.
Well, wow, that makes us severely jealous. And but,
so I'm quitting my job, and I'll apply tomorrow.
Yes. So how does one get into your profession? How does, you know, I mean, obviously, I think every male out there would love to do what you do. How do you get into something like this?
Well, you know, really, it's an all in who you know in a way. This, you know, day and age, it's an ultra-competitive industry. And I was lucky enough 12 years ago now to work for a guy named Matthew Berry, who you might have heard of. He's running.
Oh, yeah, Matthew Berry, of course.
ESPN Fantasy Side. Matt and I are, you know, good friends, old friends. He found me when he started a site called TalentedMrRoto.com, which I helped him grow along with Pete Becker, now Pierre Beckway. Of ESPN. He's one of their main editors there on the fantasy side. And we brought in a ton of great writers there over the years, guys like Andy Behrens, who I work with now, Chris Harris, formerly of ESPN, currently now running his own site at harrisfootball.com, and several other guys that are, you know, been in and out of the business. Will Brinson, who's transitioned from fantasy to mainstream for CBS. We just really right moment, right place, right time kind of situation. And I was lucky enough to take advantage of it and make the most of it. And here I am, you know, 12 years later, getting paid full time, talking about fantasy sports, college basketball during that season, and, of course, drinking the finest tequila in the land.
Of course. So, I mean, I guess I want to go back to this whole tequila thing. What is your favorite tequila?
Well, it varies. You know, I'm not a big añejo guy or reposado person, and a lot of people are going to shun me for that. I like it smooth. I like it light. That's why I like the Blancos. I like the Clooney stuff, man. The Casamigos is one of the best out there. Cabo Wabo's pretty good bang for your buck as well. Esladon is a really cheap, good tequila for about $20-25 a bottle that I like. Dolce Vita, which is good organic tequila. I know you guys are in an organic beer up there in the Portland area, as well as I am here in Denver. Yeah, well, in Portland, yeah, that's how you got to do it. I did a lot of radio stuff up in Portland for years on 95.5 The Game. So I get up there, you know, probably once a year, and I throw down on some of these fine beverages and libations your country folk there have to offer. So, I dabble a lot of different tequilas, but primarily stay on the Silver Blanco line. Smoother the better, in my opinion.
Perfect.
Like a true professional.
Yeah. Seasoned drinker.
Yeah, exactly. So this all sounds pretty awesome. Is there any part of your profession that maybe is not so cool? I know that you probably hear people all the time say, you have the coolest job in the world. Is there anything that makes it a job, you know, that you don't necessarily enjoy from day to day?
Besides, of course, talking to us amateurs.
Right. Besides being on the podcast.
No, I love every single aspect of my gig, to be honest with you. You know, some people would say, oh, don't you hate the trolls? Don't you hate all the people that are just throwing shade at you on a regular basis? I relish those moments. That's the best part of my job when I go on Twitter on a Thursday night, and, you know, tequila Thursdays in my house because it's the only way I can stomach Thursday night football because the product's so bad. But, you know, I'll sit there and watch, and, you know, somebody that I advertised heavily that said, hey, this guy's going to blow up into your lineup, and he goes out and fumbles twice and is benched after, like, a quarter and a half of football. The tremendous amount of vitriol that gets spewed in my general direction, I love it. I lap it up. I spoonful it into my mouth and just spit it right back out at him. So those moments, for a lot of people, they would, you know, a lot of people, they don't have the thick skin. They, you know, they can't have the water, you know, fall off their back. For me, I have that gene, and I really do enjoy those moments where there's a lot of trash talk and a lot of just hatred kind of going back and forth in a friendly way, mind you, on social media. So other than that, you know, I guess maybe when I get overloaded on my plate with various assignments, but, you know, I look in the mirror and say, dude, you're getting paid to write fantasy football. This is the greatest job in the world.
I am pretty impressed. I obviously follow you on Twitter, and it's pretty amazing that people will basically put their whole lineup based on what you – they'll ask you a question, who should I start, this person or this person, and then when it doesn't go right, they lay into you and say, like, oh,
it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. And then, you know, it just seems like that's ridiculous.
Like, oh, it totally.
Like, you're lying, I mean, you know,
yeah, they pin the blame on you. Like, I put a gun to their head and said, all right, get your hand on the mouse. You need to put this person in your lineup. No, of course not. I make recommendations based on stuff that is logical. I look at the numbers. I look at the matchup. I weigh injury news. There is a ton of variables that get put into every single prediction that's out there. And I crank it out, and I stick to my guns and stand by it, win or lose.
Well,
and, of course, there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people out there that are spineless.
If I get dead last in my league, just beware. I'm going to say, well, Brad Evans sold me to your brother.
Well, exactly. And I'm the perfect scapegoat for those instances. So, by all means, if you want to use me as an excuse, go for it.
Perfect. Well, then, now that we've started to get the trickle into the old fantasy football, I guess we have a couple questions for you in that realm. And then we got a couple other segments that are a staple on our podcast that we'll get into called Rapid Fire and the ever-so-important man crush of the week.
Nice.
So we'll start off with just a couple different things. Now, this year is a, kind of like a running back revival, or maybe it is, maybe it isn't. What backs do you think worth a first-round pick?
Well, unfortunately, we lost a casualty this week in Arian Foster, which is a major blow to the position. One of those rare workhorse backs that was drawing a premium in drafts, and understandably so. But if you look at the landscape as a whole, even, you know, sans Foster, I think it's one of the deeper classes we've seen in recent years. You know, we're at a pass-heavy age, a timeshare age, and it's not the same as it used to be 6-7 years ago at the running back position. But I look down the ladder, you know, in terms of ADP values, and there's some tremendous values in the middle round. Guys like a C.J. Spiller, who's going around pick number 47.9 according to Fantasy Football Calculator's ADP data. That's a 24th running back off the board. Now, he's a little bit higher, maybe even substantially higher in a PPR setting. But there's a guy there that, you know, is probably going to be an RB2 and a darn good one at that. You got guys like Doug Martin, who I think could have a revival of sorts after two down years, working as the early down back behind an offensive line, although it did struggle in Tampa Bay in pass blocking enormously, was top 10 in run blocking last year. And you add Jameis Winston in the mix, along with Mike Evans, Austin Seferian Jenkins, and Vincent Jackson to stretch the field. And maybe there is an actual rebound in play there for the muscle hamster. Amir Abdullah, another guy that I loved, who right now is in a catbird seat in Detroit with Joy Bell. Joy can it? Not so much on the sideline.
Joy can it?
Joy can it? Dealing with an Achilles procedure that he's still recovering from and a knee procedure that he had in the offseason. Conditioning issues resulted with the long layoff. And he's on the pup list. Expected to return sometime during training camp, but Abdullah looks spectacular, drawing rave reviews from the coaching staff. And if he comes out firing on all cylinders here in the early portion of the preseason slate, I think he could run away with a gig. And right now you're getting him at pick number 60 overall on average, according to Fantasy Football Calculator, and he ultimately could be a top 15 running back this year.
What about I've done a few mock drafts. The last couple of years, you've had some tight ends that have gone that have been first round worthy, obviously Gronk and Graham. But outside of those two, is there really any other tight end that's worth doing a first or second round? I mean, it seems like unless you get those two, you're better served maybe just getting one later in the draft. I love Kelce,
and Kelce right now I think may be a little bit overhyped. I understand, you know, you're going to see a snap increase. This guy only played about 55% of the snaps last year, where it's highly efficient when, you know, given those opportunities. And he's an absolute mauler in terms of run blocking. That's run blocking tight end, according to Pro Football Focus's metric last year. But I think, you know, he's going to play a pivotal role, obviously, in the pass game, obviously in the trenches as well. Probably going to see upwards of maybe 80, 85% of the team snaps. So that 30% increase, essentially, from the previous year should lead to a rise in additional targets, receptions, yards, and touchdowns. However, I'm seeing him go in some expert, quote-unquote, circles as high as round three. That's too rich for my blood. If you get him in round five or six and he's sitting there, you know, sipping pina coladas in the availability pool, by all means, you know, him, throw him a life raft, because I think that's an appropriate time for him to go. But you're right, spot on. Gronk is, you know, predominantly a first-round pick, way too risky for me, considering he's missed 15 games in his NFL career due to various injuries. And then you got Jimmy Graham, who's going from New Orleans to Seattle, more of a ball-control offense. I would expect a little bit of a downturn across the board in terms of his overall production, but an average draft position of 30 overall, that's about right. But for me, I'd rather wait till the later rounds. Give me a Delanie Walker. Give me an Austin Seferian Jenkins, or an Owen Daniels, somebody like that. You can get right around pick 100 or later. I think you'd be very happy having either one of those options on your roster this season.
Definitely, definitely. So, going, you know, in another direction on fantasy football names and nicknames. What's the best and the worst team names that you've heard? And then, what is your process for choosing your team name?
I've heard a lot of bad ones over the years, some just horrific puns that really didn't work out. There's a couple I would love to share, but are probably not appropriate for me to say on air.
You know, it's a podcast.
I totally can, but I don't want to come back on me, so I'll plead the fifth on that one. But there have been some good ones over the years that I've always enjoyed. You know, Belichick yourself before you wreck yourself has always been one of my favorites. You know, me being kind of an old-school hip-hop fan, love the Ice Cube. And, of course, anytime you can rope in a gangster rapper with Bill Belichick, I mean, that's like – that's perfect moment right there.
That's gold.
It really is.
Yeah.
That's perfect synergy. So that's probably my favorite all-time name. But anytime, you know, I've seen some ones in reference to what Sheedy McCoy said about that girls-only pool party that he was trying to throw in Vegas a few weeks back. And then he came out and said, oh, no, man, it wasn't a weird orgy thing. So
the media took it out of context.
Completely. But Weird Orgy Thing might be the best fantasy football team name of all time, and particularly applies to, you know, actual things for this year.
That's a good suggestion. If it doesn't work out, though, I'm going to get on Twitter and blame you for it.
Nice. Okay, so you being, I mean, knowing a little bit more of your background, talking about how you know Matthew Berry and so many other people at ESPN, has there been any kind of rivalries between other fantasy experts at different networks or any beef or any good stories that you can maybe let us in on?
We are a lame group of people. I will say this. There's not a whole lot of, finger pointing or fist being thrown. I imagine it being like backstage at a Coldplay concert. It's like nothing going on. Seriously, it's like guys kind of hanging around, reading books and eating M&Ms. That's pretty much it. Now, we do get together, you know, for fantasy conferences and whatnot, and it's very chummy. Because we all know each other. We all kind of pinch one another and say, we can't believe we're doing this for a living.
Sure.
And it's kind of a good old boys network in that regard. And we do, you know, prop each other up from time to time. Oh, yeah, I mean, we'll call each other out if we disagree on a particular player. I've gotten a lot of heated Twitter wars about Andre Ellington already this year. But I do respect my colleagues greatly, and I think that respect is reciprocated across the board. So it's really kind of a loving, you know, sit around the campfire, eat some s'mores, sing a bunch of, you know, songs, kumbaya type feel in the fantasy industry.
It sounds awesome. I keep waiting for you to, like, say something. I'm like, oh, maybe it's not so cool, but it sounds like it's truly the best thing in the world.
Yeah, it's not like WWE where somebody's grabbing a, you know, chair and slapping it across somebody's back. I mean, it just, that never happens in our industry.
Okay, this has been great. And now we're going to get into our one of our fun segments called Rapid Fire, where I'm just going to be spitting questions out at you. Jordan Curtis, who is our other host, who does more of a pop culture side of things for this podcast, he started this segment called Rapid Fire. So I thought I would do a fantasy/pop culture rapid fire questioning for you. And I'm going to be giving you about, I don't know, 15 or so questions. Will be quick. You can answer quick if you need to. If you need to give reasoning behind your answers, go for it, but make it quick, and we'll have some fun with it. All right?
All right. Fire away.
Okay. So, who is the most underrated all-time fantasy player in your opinion? And I'll give this a little backstory. Like kind of like Curtis Martin was, you know, a very underrated player, and he's technically one of the greatest running backs of all time, but people don't view him that way. So, who's the most underrated all-time fantasy player, in your opinion?
Well, a guy that won't make the Hall of Fame, but he should make the Fantasy Hall of Fame, Priest Holmes, coming from that same era as Curtis Martin.
Unbelievable fantasy running back for about a 4 or 5 year stretch for the Kansas City Chiefs.
You just made – so, what we didn't cover was Kyle is like a diehard Chiefs fan. I'm a diehard Broncos fan, so – pretty sure Kyle over here is chubbing pretty hard right now.
A little bit, yeah.
Are you touching yourself right now because I mentioned three phones? It's okay if you are.
If you keep going like this, I mean, who knows what's going to happen?
Might be some heavy breathing.
Yeah. So, huge Broncos Chiefs fans. There's more questions coming to that. So, I guess the next one is the best long-term fantasy outlook this year. Over a dynasty, Jeremy Langford or Cameron Artis Payne?
I'm going to go with Jeremy Langford because Matt Forte's odometer reading is high. And I'll be honest, Cameron Artis Payne, a very average running back, I felt at the collegiate level, nothing special about him. I think Langford's got the power and potentially the versatility to mesh and really carry a Chicago Bears team down the road.
Good call.
Nice. Are you more of a conservative or risk-taking fantasy player? So guaranteed points or high risk, high reward? Where do you go?
Oh, double down all day. High risk, high reward. I'm the CEO of Team Hylos, for crying out loud. I don't follow the herd. I think differently. At least I try to. I try also to back everything up with sound logic. So, I'm one of those guys that's been on the record during Adrian Peterson's heyday and said, look, the matchup isn't favorable, bench the cat. Because every player is not immune to, a donut. any given week.
Right. That's true. That is true. Okay. Deflategate. Burn Tom Brady at the stake, or who the hell cares?
At this point, who the hell cares?
Yeah,
I mean, come on. This dead horse has been beaten, stabbed, DDT'd, suplexed, thrown in the river. I mean, it's ridiculous how the media just continues to write word after word after word. I mean, it's like the unabridged version of Moby Dick at this point. The voluminous amounts of verbiage that have been thrown out at it. So, yeah, let's just bury it and move on.
Yeah, the amount of money that's been spent on the investigations is greater than several GDPs in the world. So, like, let's get over it.
Probably greater than Micronesia, I'm guessing.
Looks like I guess the fire alarm's going off right now. Yeah, but you know what? We're just going to stay here with this podcast. Why not? Go down with the ship.
Sorry about that. Okay, next question. Who has a better dynasty long-term outlook, Travis Kelce or Ladarius Green?
Oh, definitely Travis Kelce. No question about it. He's still in his mid-20s, young, ton of upside. We have not seen his best football yet. And, again, he does everything great across the board. Ladarius Green has just been this project that people have bought into hook, line, and sinker. And we keep writing off Antonio Gates, and even though he's got the 4-game suspension this year, I bet he comes back, takes the job again, and runs with it. He's like a Timex wash. Takes a licking and keeps on kicking, baby.
That's very frustrating because 2 years ago, I took when Ladarius Green was coming out of college and the hype was huge, I drafted him in a dynasty league and traded my friend Kyle here straight up for, he took Travis Kelce from me and I took Ladarius Green. And he tries to make me think it's a fair trade, but it's not. So,
you know, it happens. It happens. You know, every once in a while you get a good one, right?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So, better 80s movie, The Labyrinth, Never Ending Story, or The Princess Bride?
Ooh, man, that's a good one. Not The Never Ending Story, although a lot of people wax nostalgically about that. Honestly, because it's got what I feel is like one of the most underrated hot women of all time, and it's Jennifer Connelly.
I'm going
Labyrinth, and David Bowie was badass in that movie.
Yes, he was. He was the best. I'm telling you, Labyrinth was one of my favorite movies as a kid. It was perfect. And again, sorry for the beeping in the background.
Grab a bucket of water and extinguish it, gentlemen. I don't want you guys, you know, going down with all the beer. You better start drinking heavily here.
Yeah. Okay, next one.
Who wins the division this year, the AFC West? It's Houston, the Broncos.
If it's not the Broncos? Or you think the Broncos are included? Anybody's included.
No, who wins the division? It's got to be.
We believe it's either one of our teams.
It's the Chiefs or the Broncos.
It's not the Chiefs. It's got to be Denver. And I'm not saying that because I live in Denver, but I think if
you're back on offense, you're back in his good graces now.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
look, here's the thing about Kubiak. Kubiak, they're going to take the ball to Peyton Manning's hands more often than not. They're going to try to put the ball in the gut of C.J. Anderson, who I think is a perfect fit for the zone blocking scheme. He's a good one-cut-and-go runner, a guy that's excellent in pass protection, can catch the ball in the backfield fluidly. He's the new Arian Foster within this system. And I think having that pressure off Peyton Manning is going to help out the team immensely. Ball control, eat clock, rely on the defense, which should be pretty good, even minus Derek Wolfe for 4 games. So, yeah, Denver's going to win this game or this division, and I wouldn't be surprised if they run away with it.
Okay. So, biggest off-the-radar guy who will help you win your league this year?
Ooh, biggest off-the-radar guy. And let's qualify what off-the-radar is. I mean, nobody's really off-the-radar because we live in the internet age, for crying out loud. But I'll pick a player that's beyond pick 120 in average draft position right now. I'm going to go with Eddie Royal of the Chicago Bears, the ex-San Diego Charger, ex-Denver Bronco, re-teaming with his former Bronco teammate, Jay Cutler. They had a percolating chemistry. Royals rookie season, I think it was Cutler's last season in the Mile High City. Now they're reunited in Chi-Town, and Royals look tremendous in training camp. Kevin White is no lock to be ready week 1. He's dealing with a bad shin.
A lot of defensive attention going to be rotating the side of Alshon Jeffrey. A lot of defensive attention is going to be paid to Martellus Bennett. Eddie Royal is going to thrive out of the slot. I wouldn't be at all surprised if he emerges like a 75-catch, 1,000-yard, handful of touchdown wideout who could, you know, be that difference maker for you in any size league.
That's well, as a fellow, I don't know if you're a Bronco fan or not, but I am. And as a Bronco fan, I hate Jay Cutler, and so I figure everybody's – who he's throwing to is going to suck automatically. So
I'm a Bears fan, and I absolutely despise Jay Cutler with a fiery passion. So we're in the same boat.
There's literally, like, not one likable quality about him. I tried really hard to like
him. He's got great hair. He's got great hair and a hot wife. I'll give him that.
His wife. who would you stay away from that will be overdrafted?
There's a number of players I think are going to be overdrafted, but first and foremost in my book, it's got to be Shady McCoy. You know, LeSean McCoy's situation is just dire. It's ugly. I understand it's Rex Ryanball, Greg Roman there as well. Both these guys, you know, could be poster boys of the Republican Party. They're still conservative. I really think that, you know, the volume's going to be there for McCoy. I worry about him breaking down. He's got over 1,800 career touches on the odometer. The offensive line was number 32 of 32 in run blocking last year, according to Pro Football Focus. And I understand you bring in Incognito and the rookie Miller, but a lot of work in progress there. And look at the crap that you're throwing out of quarterback there. Tyrod Taylor, Matt Castle, E.J. Manuel. Heck, give me Trent Edwards. He'd be light years better than any of those cats. Or a one-armed Jim Kelly. I mean, seriously, it's just ridiculous, the situation there. So you're going to see a lot of 2-3 yard gains. Not a whole lot of fantasy action, but more fantasy frustration for his investors.
Okay. So what annoys you more, the player in the league that doesn't make any moves or the guy who constantly sends you ridiculous trades or other?
I don't mind the ridiculous trade offers because at least I know that's an active owner. And for a guy that's been running a league since I was in high school, since I was 17, I appreciate, you know, highly involved players. So for me, give me the vote for the guy that doesn't make a move and just drafts and does nothing. Doesn't even set his lineup every week, especially during the bye week. So that's really maddening.
Okay, so scenario here. You have 1 minute to change your lineup before kickoff, but something's burning in your oven. What do you do?
Change your lineup. They make fire extinguishers for a reason, gentlemen.
Sorry, Hal. Okay. What about? You have a live draft party, or your favorite celebrity crush of all time texts you and says they want to go on a date with you. Which one do you choose?
Ooh. Oh, Jennifer Connelly is calling me up and being like, "Hey, big noise! I want you to come rock my world." That would be highly debated, gentlemen. But to be honest with you, I don't give a crap about celebrities, so I'm going to go with the live draft.
Whoa! You are a professional fantasy player. Good for you.
Hey, yeah, you know, and I'm married, so, you know, that's not going to end well.
That's a good answer. So good answer. We talk a big game, but we do the exact same thing. Okay, so Jaeger shots or microbrew of your choice?
Oh, God, Jaeger shots all day long. In the wintertime, gentlemen, I live, you know, on the cusp of the Rocky Mountains. It gets a little cold here, and we average about 60 inches of snowfall a year here in the greater Denver area, and there is nothing more that nothing that warms the soul better, I should say, than deer blood. So I'm going with Jaeger.
Deer blood. Nice. Okay, so to wrap up the rapid fire, which has, you know, been semi-rapid, but I like it nonetheless, who is your favorite, who is going to be in your Super Bowl this year, and who wins it all?
I've got the Indianapolis Colts, and by the way, they are 7-1 right now to win it, to hoist the Lombardi Trophy in Vegas. I like that odds, those odds. So give me the Colts, and the NFC is kind of – I'm going to go with a wild card here. I'm really going to throw a curveball. Colts, Cardinals, Indianapolis wins it.
Team Huevos going for it.
Yeah, I really like the Arizona team. Very stout defensively. As long as Carson Palmer can play 16 games, you got John Brown there. Even though Michael Floyd injured his fingers, dislocated a few of them, had him poking through the skin, which is pretty disgusting. He may only miss a game or two max. to begin the season. And, you know, Fitzgerald can still get it done. John Brown, like I said, is, you know, been a buzzy commodity. Love Andre Ellington. They bring in David Johnson. Offensive line's been upgraded. That's a very good Arizona team that people are sleeping hard on right now.
Sleeper.
Yeah,
sleeper.
I like that. I like that. Okay, actually, one more quick one for you. Now, we lost a good one recently. He's from Portland, Oregon, Roddy Piper. And got to know, who is your favorite all-time wrestler?
Well, Roddy Piper was up there for me, but no question about it, was the Ultimate Warrior, because he was juiced out of his mind. I didn't know it as a kid.
You're my favorite person.
When he would come in and do the whole, like, crazy man rope thing to start it. Oh, God. I mean, the guy was nuts. Because, again, he was just roided out of his mind.
Yes, he was.
Legitimately thought he was a little crazy, like, legitimately.
And I will say this, if I had a second option here, Jake the Snake Roberts would be number two for me.
There you go.
I'm a Macho Man guy myself. I love
you. Ooh, yeah. Devin with Slim Jim.
The beat goes on. Yeah, yeah.
Perfect. That was an awesome segment. Thank you for that. We're almost done here, but this has been the staple since we started this podcast 3 years ago. It's the Man Crush of the Week, and we have to ask you. We have a two-part question here. Who are you crushing on? And think of anybody, could be sports, could be anything, right now. And then who is going to be your 2015 fantasy man crush?
Well, I'm crushing on Chris Pratt because the guy, everything that guy touches right now is pure gold, and I just love his sense of humor and sarcasm. If there was one dude I would rather be than anybody else in the entire world, it would definitely be that guy because he's got it all right now. He's a complete package. I'll see anything he does. Fantasy football-wise, the man crush that I have right now, man, I'm going to go back to Arizona. I love Andre Ellington. I think the guy's getting a bad rap. Because of the yards per carry from last year was 3.3, but he played hurt the entire year. He had a split tendon in his foot, which he had to fight through the pain just to get on the active roster every single week. He didn't practice. He would lay off and just come out on Sunday and give it his all. Guy is tough as nails. Earned my respect last year. I also got to remember 2 years ago as a rookie, 5.5 yards per carry average. He led the league in breakaway percentage among running backs. Explosive guy. Great hands out of the backfield. Great fit for this no-huddle offense that Bruce Arians is implementing. And David Johnson is nothing but an insurance policy. Even Arians came out this week and said that, look, Ellington's going to be a 20-touch-per-game running back. And a lot of people say, oh, it's coach speak. It's coach speak. Don't believe it. Believe it if it comes out of Bruce Arians' mouth, because he is a straight shooter, as straight as they come. So I think Andre Ellington going around picks 45, 50 overall will greatly exceed expectation and turn a nice, tidy profit for people that invest in the services.
Do you take C.J. Anderson or Andre Ellington?
Oh, definitely C.J. Anderson. But you can get both. That's the beauty of it. You get C.J. Anderson the back half of round one, early portion of round two, and then wait around two, 3 rounds. And guess what? Andre Ellington's going to be sitting there saying, hello, I'm here. And you just draft him, and you got both those guys. Championship.
Yes. Well, we'd like to collectively say that our man crush of the week would be you, sir.
Brad Evans.
Yeah. Oh, you are officially up on the wall of man crush of the week.
Don't worry. Nobody ever listens, and no one will see this wall, so don't worry about it.
I hope you got my good side, because I really don't have one, but I don't know what that good side would be, to be honest. But look, guys, I appreciate you having me on, and first and foremost, I'm just glad you guys didn't burn it with Chris.
Oh yeah, no, we're good. We got dinner for my little one, so that's good. Everyone's alive, and we're still drinking beer.
So everything's good. So thank you so much for giving us the time to talk today. Have a fantastic season, and hopefully we can catch up sometime in the future.
All right, guys. Good luck to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Take care.
That was pretty amazing. That was awesome. I was pretty nervous for it, and then he's just a normal guy. Like I said in the beginning, he's just a dude. He's just a dude. He'll talk anything from drinking heavily to No, no. Oh, that might, have been the pre-call.
That was the pre-call.
Was that the pre-call?
Putting that in?
No, no. Well, that was us. We talked about that.
Okay, then.
Well, that, don't worry. It's going to be deleted. Anyway, that was just like one of the most surreal moments, being able to interview a guy like that.
But it's like talking to somebody where you realize that, like, you know, it's like when we hang out on a Friday or Saturday night, we're having fun. That's like, we just like hanging out and talking about sports, and that's it. And that's his job.
The greatest job.
It's the greatest job in the world.
And we tried our damnedest to be like, okay, seriously, what is the one bad
like,
thing about your job?
Something,
there's got to be
right?
something. And then he kept deflecting, being like, no, it's pretty much the greatest thing ever.
Oh, when I get with Matt Berry, we sit around and talk about how lucky we are to do this.
Downing tequila and Jaeger shots.
You know what? Now I'm mad at Brad Evans. I'm growing mad at Brad Evans.
Oh, my gosh.
But that was awesome. Brad Evans, thank you. I couldn't have asked. Couldn't have been more pleased with that.
Really. And it was one of those things when we talked about this at the beginning. We're like, oh, we're going to do a fantasy football preview show. And to an extent, you know, we got to some nice questions. But it was just fun getting to know him and answering those fun off-the-wall questions. And I got to give him some major props because I also would have picked Labyrinth and Jennifer Connelly. Hey, yes, please.
When he picked, he talked about Priest Holmes.
Yes.
Jennifer Connelly and Chris Pratt.
And I full
that's
chub.
Your, like,
I went full chub.
That's your like trifecta of perfectness. Whatever.
Perfection. Trifecta of awesome.
Perfection, that's what I'm looking
exactly.
for.
Exactly. That was pretty sweet.
Well, sorry about beeping in the background part of that.
Do you want to let them know what happened?
Well, so Kyle and I don't do fantasy sports for a living. We have normal people jobs.
so we just pick a room out in the house.
Bit of a scramble to get home and get ready for this.
I just flew in from Denver, which oddly enough is where he's at now.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Go Broncos.
So I literally went straight from the airport to your house because Brad Evans said, I can do it at 7 o'clock.
You work around Brad Evans.
And I just go, okay.
Yeah.
So I just came straight here, did the podcast.
Doing the podcast. By the way, my daughter needs to eat dinner, so my lovely wife is cooking dinner for our 2.5-year-old.
And just, you know, a little smoke
alarm. That's right.
No biggie.
No big deal.
No biggie. It was a hot podcast.
Hashtag hot. Amateur.
Yeah. But awesome.
But awesome.
Exactly.
Really great.
Anyway.
All right. Well, maybe we do a preview another time.
Maybe we'll get to it. And you know what? We actually, everybody, I mean, the fact that we're now in the realm of interviewing people with Zane Lamprey last time, Brad Evans this time, guess what?
President Obama is next.
There's
No, he's not.
There's not at all. But there is more to come. We got other things coming.
That's right.
And we hope you listen in. And this is what we do for fun. So we just appreciate that for the few of you out there that listen. We love you.
Thanks, Grandma.
And thanks, Mom. Thanks,
love
Dad.
You. Love you.
Checks in the mail.
Say hi to the dog.
We'll keep coming to you, hopefully more often than not. But thanks again to Brad Evans.
Definitely.
Thanks to your wife for letting us take over, you know, one of the rooms while, you know,
absolutely.
You know, smoke alarms going off, you know, and not going to her aid.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how committed I am.
Yes.
You know what?
To this podcast.
I choose Brad Evans over my wife and child. The safety of my wife and child. My house could have been burning down. But Brad Evans said 7 o'clock.
Yeah, he's his. Well, everything's got to be perfect. All right. Well, thanks, guys.
Cheers. And
you're welcome.
You remind me of the baby. Power of voodoo.
You do.
Remind me of the babe.
I saw my baby crying for this babe. What did I do?